Single? Middle-aged? What the f-
Match your opinion, but listen to what I'm saying.
Yes. Like, okay, watch, bring that mic close, girl.
You know, like, watch your video and listen to what you're actually saying.
Okay, this is a big conversation. So I posted something. Ooh, this is, we need more wine.
Yeah, we
I
do.
Have another bottle in case we need that.
I don't need another bottle.
Okay. After this conversation,
yeah,
we might.
This conversation is going to get dicey, just FYI.
FYI.
And what I would say is watch the whole thing.
Yeah, it's going to be a little controversial. I mean, I'm totally okay with that.
Yep, we are. And
okay.
Just watch the whole thing before you make any judgments.
Read the caption, people. I mean, literacy
let's start
is
there.
Let's
that's how this whole thing started.
Yeah, that's how this whole thing started. So we weren't going to record another episode today, and I started talking about what's going on TikTok. So if you guys have been following us, you know that I come from, you know, a banking background where I left banking because we were kidnapped and held hostage via home invasion. And
if they didn't know that.
If you didn't know that, that's what happened. So my daughter was 7. There was a home invasion. We were stalked for, you know, 3 months, 2 months. I think the FBI report said 2 months, right? And
that they were watching you.
They were watching us for a really long time.
Every single moment.
Every single moment. They were
every move.
Every move, tracking us.
Yeah.
And anyway, they broke the door down. They broke our house, broke into our house and attacked myself and my daughter. And at the time, my roommate. And they held us hostage. It was just a really violent, brutal home invasion attack. And they took my daughter from me, put her in a closet, put bombs on us, forced me to rob the bank, or they were going to murder us. That's in a nutshell. And there was so much trauma after that. There was healing that needed to happen after that. A lot of therapy, a lot of PTSD, a lot of things, right? One of the things that happened was one of our first outings after that, to try to get back out in public after that, to try to go, okay, we need to start
normalize
trying to normalize
your life
again. Our life again, was,
yeah,
okay, let's try to go to a movie. So we go to a movie theater.
Where were you? Were you in Alaska?
No,
here?
Not yet. Well, this is before we went to Alaska.
Okay.
We were still living in, we were either in the new place in Oceanside, or we're still living in the hotel in Carlsbad.
Okay.
Because we never,
San Diego.
Yeah, so we were still in San Diego. We never went back to the house where this happened. We never lived there again or spent another night there again.
Right.
We ended up living from hotel to hotel until we could figure out what to do and where to go. And I mean, it was just a mess, right?
Yeah, okay.
So anyway, we decided to start trying to normalize. It might have been when we were in the Oceanside house, but I can't remember that little detail. But we were at a movie theater, and like I said, two of the men that did this to us were Black. And a man and his son came and sat next to us in the movie theater right before the movie was getting ready to start. And my daughter looked at me, and that triggered her. It triggered her back into the trauma. It triggered her enough to feel that fear and say, I'm scared.
Say how old she was again, though.
She was 7.
7. Keep that in mind.
7, people.
7.
I'm scared. Can we move? And right then and there, I had a decision that I had to make. And obviously, people are like, you know, why? What do you mean you had a decision to make? Well, you can get up and say, okay, let's move. I don't want you to be afraid. I want you to, you know, let's just watch a movie. Let's get up and move. I don't want you to be uncomfortable, honey, whatever the case may be.
Right.
Or I could say, no, we're not moving. We're staying right here because every man is not like those men that attacked us. Every Black man is not like those men that attacked us.
Right.
I do not want to perpetuate that fear. We're going to end that right here and now. And we're going to stay and we're going to sit here. And in the post on TikTok, the heading was, which wolf will win? So if you remember the old Cherokee story, it's like,
I don't, but you go into it in your TikTok.
Which wolf do you feed? Do you feed the one that's full evil, or do you feed the one that's light and goodness and love?
Right.
Well, you feed them both, right? In that story, in the Cherokee story, you feed them both. And in that moment, I had to figure out which, even though we could feed both wolves, which wolf is going to win in that moment. For me, I was not going to feed that wolf of fear. I wanted to her to understand that we were going to sit right there and enjoy a great movie and teach her that lesson that was not to judge all by the actions of a few, and don't carry that fear forward with you that they introduced you to, that they are the ones who birthed that fear when they broke that door down and brutally attacked us, right? I posted this story on TikTok and it has almost 1 million views right now.
Crazy.
And the comments are unbelievable. People saying, you're a racist. Why would she ever think that in the first place? It starts in the home. You taught her this. These comments are unbelievable. And I explain the situation in the caption. But they're not reading it. And they're not listening all the way through. And our last episode was about healing. Get this. They can't see past their own trauma, some of it 400 years old,
yeah,
yes, to see that this was a good thing and a teachable moment to teach her the exact opposite of racism,
right,
to teach her not to be racist, to teach her not to carry that shit forward, to teach her not to carry that fear forward, not judge all men or all black men or all Hispanic men or anybody in general because of the actions of three people, and to help her heal forward and heal positively. But that TikTok, those comments are full of just
hate
and racism that's not coming from me. That, I mean, if you read these comments,
it's coming from the posters because they're projecting based on what they have in their head or their heart. Because to go back to the comment of that's taught in home, she wasn't afraid prior to the break-in.
Of course not.
But then the break-in happens and those men were brutal. They all went to jail. They were all found guilty. If you read her book or watch Lifetime movie, you will know. So if you do your research before you make a comment, which is always my big deal, but that's another story too. But yeah, anyway, it wasn't learned behavior.
It was learned by them.
It was taught to her.
It was introduced
to
her.
Them.
Yes, by them.
Yes, it wasn't learned behavior. She wasn't afraid prior to that. They taught her to be afraid because they instilled a lot of fear in both of you, which is why you went through you were fearful for your life. They taught you that. So then here comes another teachable moment when you're in the movie theater.
Yeah.
And you have a split second decision to make.
Right.
And you make the decision to teach her that it's not always bad. The men aren't bad. Black men aren't bad. Brown men. It doesn't matter. People aren't bad.
Not all people.
Not all people are bad.
Not all men.
Right.
Not all black men.
And
not
you
all
taught,
Hispanic
and you
men.
Had another teachable moment where you got to teach her that and you made her stay. You both stayed. You were probably fearful too. You're just not admitting it.
I wouldn't say I was fearful, but after...
Uncomfortable, something?
Yeah, I would say that anybody who understands violent trauma at that level, anybody who knows anything about violent trauma at that level, and even if you don't, you need to at least be open to understanding what that looks like for people who have been brutally, violently attacked.
Right.
That... there are triggers. You are triggered. Something happens physiologically on a very visceral level that you can't control. It's just all of a sudden you feel this thing that you're like, oh my God, you freeze up. You know what I mean? You freeze up, you tense up, your brain starts going into flashbacks and you have all of these things happen to you throughout the healing process until you get to the point where you're really, really healed, which is where we are now, where we can talk about it. We're not triggered really much at all anymore by just certain things. Yes, still a little bit. But back then it was fresh and she was 7. And
I think that's the key point.
She was
7. Like people just aren't grasping. They're so eager to attack and jump instead of like, let's look at the big picture. Like, listen to your whole TikTok. Read your whole captions. Maybe read some of the comments from people. Maybe Google Michelle Renee and find out what happened. I mean, her daughter was 7. This was a long time ago.
Yeah.
You guys have you know,
we're way now we're teaching healing now, and we're speaking on healing. I have another book coming out on healing, right. So we're on the other side of it.
You're totally on the other
side, but the reason why I posted this is because I got in, I was asked to speak at an event a few weeks ago to a group of people in a room that have recently gotten out of prison. And there were judges and parole officers and people getting out of prison. And the message was, I was up there as somebody who had been brutalized by a violent crime. And my daughter was there with me and been brutalized, obviously, with me of this violent crime. And we were talking about forgiveness. The entire talk was about radical forgiveness and how to heal forward and heal positive and heal not only ourselves and in our home, but how do we begin to heal communities? And I was telling that story in this talk because I was letting people know that we have decisions to make, a million decisions to make every single day. We have so many decisions to make every single day. On a split second moment. And those choices that you make and those decisions that you make shape our children and shape our families and shape our communities and shape society and shape ourselves as well.
Sure.
So I was sharing that story to let people know that we have to make these decisions not to carry that fear forward with us in our lives and to not judge all because of the actions of a few. That was the entire message. But I mean, if you read these comments, they're like, it started in the home. And I'm like, yeah, home invasion, if that's what you meant. But yeah, I mean, the comments are wicked, really wicked. I mean, I can't even believe that people don't understand that this was a really positive, it was a positive thing, it was a positive message. I was like, I'm teaching my child. This was a major, major teachable moment that I think everybody should practice and teach this lesson.
I agree, which is interesting because I didn't see it on TikTok. I saw it on Instagram, and you did a follow-up, I think, on a story, and you said, this isn't about racism. And I was like, racism? Where the hell is that coming from?
Yeah, because the entire comment section, everybody turned it into a conversation about racism. And it isn't about racism.
It's
about
all. That's why I was, when I saw it, I was, racism? What the hell is, what is she talking
about? It's literally
about
the opposite of that. And it's about not carrying fear forward in your life and letting that run and ruin the rest of your life, another day of your life. Like, it's the opposite of that. And I'm floored how many people don't get it. Don't see.
Well, and I mean, it's just obvious by their comments, they didn't watch the whole video. They couldn't have.
No.
They couldn't have. And or read your caption. I mean, just pay attention. Instead of just, you know, all they saw or heard, the minute you said two black women, men, they were like, there they go to their keyboard. It's like, hold on.
Oh, yeah. Some of the comments are like, what do you mean she was afraid of black men sitting next to you? We should be afraid of you. You've been lynching us for 400 years. I'm like, really?
Really?
You're turning this into that conversation? We're talking about helping a seven-year-old who was brutally attacked and triggered with fear because of being attacked because of the actions of these people, and not allowing that to continue forward. And how that is so important for us to do as parents for our children, and just in general, I think it's such a good thing, but it turned into something really ugly on TikTok. I'm shocked. I was so shocked by that because it wasn't about racism. It's about not bringing fear forward, not living the rest of your life
it
with that.
It wasn't even about black or white at all.
Well, it is because I say two of the people who attacked us were black.
Okay.
And black men and his son
not,
came and sat down next to us.
It was honestly about fear.
And she was triggered because of that. Understandably.
If If white men had come and done your invasion and sat next to you at the movie theater, she would have had the same reaction.
Yes, but and that's a big part of what's going on TikTok in the comments too. It's like, yeah, what if it was somebody white?
It would have been the same. I guess that's what I mean about this isn't about black or white. It was a teachable moment about fear and either living your life in fear and or not. That's, you know, we've all talked about this whole experience that you had. You and Bria came out so amazing.
Thank you.
So amazing.
That took a lot of work.
Because of who you two are.
It's intentional. That was very, very intentional. And it was hard. And it was
not going to let that ruin the rest of your life.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. And I'm still to this day.
Yes.
To this day, I want other people to know that they don't have to let violent trauma ruin the rest of their lives either. Right. You know? But I mean the whole comment section is littered with that. I mean, if it was white guys, would it? And my response is I can't answer that because it wasn't white guys.
Right.
It wasn't they weren't white men. So I can't answer to that. But what I can say is the conversation would be the same. Do not judge all by the actions of a few, and do not carry this fear forward. We are going to sit here and we are going to eat popcorn and we are going to enjoy this movie and we're going to leave that fear BS in the past where it belongs. The conversation would be the same. The message would be the same.
Right.
Right.
So is that TikTok the same TikTok where you talk about then you started thinking this is someone's son, father, uncle?
That's a different one.
A different one?
Yeah, that's okay. A different TikTok because that's the same kind of thing. You know,
I guess my point with all of that, because I go down the deep rabbit hole of, you know, if I'd have come across your story and didn't know you, I would have Googled you and gone down that whole rabbit hole. But, oh, crap.
Well, it's funny. One guy, because I spent like 2 days, because at first I was like, oh, my God, another teachable moment. I'm going to school these people with all these comments where they're saying, yeah, it starts at home. And I'm like, mm-hmm, home invasion. She was 7. This is what happened. That fear was introduced to her.
Yeah, like keep in mind she was 7.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm thinking I'm going to school all these people. Well, that's exhausting. There's like 4,000 comments.
I told her, I'm like, stop.
I stopped. I can't. I just couldn't. But
no.
You know, initially I was like, oh, you know, I'll sit down. But then I guess that is exhausting. Oh my God. So, but a lot of it was, I forgot where I was going with that.
Okay, so let me go back to my thought stuff. And maybe your thought will come back. Hello, welcome to being
in our later
years. Yeah. So what I was going to say was what people don't know is you actually reached out to those men mm-hmm. in jail
mm-hmm. yeah.
and wrote letters and got letters back.
We wrote a letter to one of them
and you actually met with him.
Many years later, we got a letter back
changed his life. It changed all three of your lives.
Everybody, yeah.
And like you say in one of your other, you know, this is someone's brother, uncle, dad, grandpa, whatever, friend. It's like you really took it a whole nother step and started thinking about this. You started thinking about them.
100%.
You took it out of you and started thinking about them. And who are they? That's what it was. What brought them to make the decision to do that to you?
What happened to them in their life?
Yeah, so these people that are making these comments, I'm just like, oh, God, ignorance. That's ignorance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hands down, that is ignorance.
Mm-hmm. And they're just...
Sadly.
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 And they're, yeah.
Because here's a teachable moment, and you and Bria and even your one attack have come leaps and bounds through that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no prejudice. There's no racism.
There's none of that bullshit.
These other people are projecting, and that's ignorance.
And it to me, it's like, you know, there's a big conversation that we won't get into. That's, I mean, I don't know why do they call it reverse racism? I just think racism is racism no matter which side it's coming from. It's coming from all sides. I feel like there's, you know, it's coming from all sides.
Right.
I'm going to do what I can today to make sure that that mindset is nowhere on my radar, right, nowhere on my child's radar, which is going back to the movie theater, which is why I said, no, we're going to sit here and eat popcorn. We're not moving. Not everybody is like that. We're not going to live it 400 years ago. We're going to live in the here and now and make a decision right now to make sure we're not carrying any of that crap forward.
You actually stopped it right there with Bria.
Yes.
You stopped it right there.
That was the point.
You stopped prejudice. You stopped racism. You stopped judgment. You stopped it all fear. Right there.
Yes.
Fear. All of it. I mean, you stopped it right there and said, nope.
We ain't moving.
We ain't moving. We're staying right here. We belong here. They belong here. Not all people are bad.
We belong here.
Yes, we all belong here together. Amen,
girl,
sister.
Amen, sister. Do we have any more wine? I need more wine.
Like, come on, people.
Can we stop this crap already?
Can't we just all get along? I mean, I know that sounds like...
We just stop all this already?
It's, yeah.
Come on.
We all belong here together.
That is a great way to end it. That was a heavy duty.
I know. We're going to get some shit. We're going to get some flack.
Ooh.
And that's all right. You know what?
That's okay.
We're open for it. It's a conversation that needs to happen.
I agree. And you know what? I'm going to give credit to some of the people on TikTok that were saying, this is a conversation that needs to be had. Bravo, mom. Good job. And I did spend 2 days, like I said, like trying to school people, you know, thinking like, oh, hey. And a lot of them, once I said, she was 7 when they attacked us. They're the ones that introduced her to this. Not me. It was not taught by me. It was taught by them. Crickets. But I do have to give kudos to the people who actually did respond to me saying that, going, oh my gosh, okay. I'm so sorry for this. Great job. Baby steps. We all need to be making these kinds of baby steps.
I agree. Bravo to those people. Bravo.
I have chills all over just thinking about that.
They stayed in the conversation. They didn't just make a comment and bail. Like, they stayed in the conversation to see if you responded. You did. They read your response, absorbed it, and came back and said, okay, good job, mom.
Yeah. Good job, mom. Yeah. Great. Like, and a lot of people, there are some people that got it right away. And then there are some people going, you know, read the comments. And I actually had one guy said, read the caption.
Yeah.
It explains. Hello. And you know what his response was? I don't have the attention span to read the caption. Can you just please break it down for me? I'm like, are you kidding me right now?
No.
Welcome to social media. No attention span, which is why they don't read the caption. Right. They have like a 2-second attention span. They hear one little sound bite and go off and make assumptions. And it's funny because I just filmed a podcast the other day with, have you heard of the book, The Four Agreements?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Have you read it?
Say I have.
Oh,
actually.
You gotta read it. Like, it's one of those books you gotta read again and again because it's like life stuff, you know.
Yeah, it's probably
like
packed. I'd have to buy
it. It's so good. I need to we're gonna have to read it together and then have a discussion about it because we just interviewed on a podcast that we're launching, Chats and Tats, and the son of the man who wrote that book, his son has also wrote books about self-mastery and all this stuff. And he was on the show the other day, and we were talking about some of this stuff. And he was, you know, he was talking about healing, and he was talking about, you know, and he actually mentioned on the thing about the two wolves and talked about it. And I was telling him this story. Okay. That's living it. We've got to live being impeccable with our word. We've got to live with, you know, doing all of the not taking things personal, which it was a big thing in this whole kidnapping, hostage, violent situation. I had to get to the point where, which on the road trip to Alaska, which we'll talk about, but when I started thinking about who they are as people and humanizing them instead of demonizing them, it was a complete game changer for me.
Right.
Because I had to figure out first not to take it personal. It wasn't personal.
No,
and teach my daughter, don't take it personal. This wasn't personal. We were just a means to an end for them.
Right.
We were a vehicle to get money for them.
But you not only taught your daughter, you actually taught your friends, because you definitely taught me. Like, I remember, you know, we'd be at dinners, and I'd just look at you and go, there's no fucking way I would be that. I just don't know how she can do that or be that or say that. And it's like, okay, well, sit back. I mean, what do we know about Michelle? Like, you taught the three of us girls. I'm not going to say their names, but there's four of us.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know you taught me.
Thank you.
And I would bet to say you taught all of us a lot during all of that. Because even though we weren't there with you, we went through it with you, Ambria.
Sure.
You know, and it's like you had, there were a lot of teachable moments.
Well, you saw the trauma.
Yes.
Even Dave. So Dave, we're getting ready. There's a 48-hour special coming out. So Dave is my brother.
Yeah. Okay.
And one of my brothers, and he ended up showing up like a superhero for us in the aftermath of this violent situation. And he was at the trial every single day and the whole nine yards. But he, I forgot why I was going with that again, too. Shit balls.
Okay, note to self. Maybe we don't drink a bottle of wine.
No, we drink a bottle of wine. We drink a bottle of wine.
So, no. Oh my god,
I lost my train of thought.
Okay, so, well, we were talking about how it was a teachable moment for us girls.
Yeah.
And then you were saying he was showing up, he was at your trial.
Yeah, no, lost it. It's gone. It's bye. Gone.
Fuck. Shit. It happens.
All right, well, if it comes back, we'll record it on another episode.
Oh my god. Seriously,
that's good.
Do not drink a bottle of wine when you're doing a podcast.
I think, I don't know, I'm kind of enjoying it.
No, I am too.
It's really good. We went through a whole bottle. Second time.
Between the two of us.
Okay, between the two of us.
There's been three.
Okay, three.
You've had two, I've had one. Not that we're keeping score.
Where was I where the hell was I going with that? I have no idea. Like, legit lost it. Lost it completely. Like, whoop, there it goes. It went off my balcony.
Which, you know, it's funny because we talk about, because we think it's age. It's really not age. Honestly, young people have these same, like,
moments.
They lose it. Yeah.
Moments.
It'll
we
come
call
back.
Them moments.
It'll come back.
No,
and if
so
it doesn't, that's fine.
I mean, I feel like, oh, I was talking about 48 hours getting ready to do a special on us. That's coming out at the end of this month, actually.
Are they?
Yeah. So 48-hour special is getting ready to be released at the end of this month in January, okay. End of January 2023, brand new one.
Okay.
We just wrapped filming like 3 weeks ago.
I have no idea.
Wait, what?
You did not share this with
We've
any of us.
We've been filming with them for months.
You have not one story, one is nothing.
What?
I had no idea, Michelle.
Oh, crap. Well, okay. 48 hours,
are you
CBS.
To talk about it.
Yeah.
About,
oh, yeah.
A little bit.
40 hours, CBS is coming out with a special.
Okay.
Here's why. 48 hours did a special on this whole event years ago, after it happened.
Right.
It wasn't great. The woman who interviewed me, cold as a fish, terrible. She was not great. The end of it was not great. I was not happy with the way that they portrayed things. They left sort of doubt in the viewer's mind that I thought was really unfair and cruel, honestly. And so fast forward, the ringleader who'd been lying the entire time, he lied in the courtroom. His defense was a completely fabricated story about me being the ringleader, him and I were having an affair, all this stuff that was all just crazy, crazy, crazy made up bullshit, right?
Nice.
That they allowed in the courtroom. Oh, nice not. That they allowed in the courtroom. Like, they threw out one of the defendant, his co-defendant, it two separate trials, long story, one of his co-defendants completely confessed. They threw it out. The jury didn't hear it. He came up with this complete fabricated story with his freaking scumbag attorney, and that was literally let him go, like, attacked me on the stand with all these lies and all this stuff. It was awful. Oh my god. And I lost so much faith in the system after that, right?
Well, I was just gonna say, yeah.
Oh my god, system. It was so horrible. And I was one of those like people that was like, you know,
rah
rah justice system. No. So
you wonder why
innocent people end up in jail.
Yeah. So last year, yeah, now I get it. But so last year, he was up for parole, and the district attorney who, the prosecuting district attorney who prosecuted the case, he's like, I'm showing up for this. I'm going to ask him point blank. He sent me a message like, I'm going to ask him point blank at this parole hearing, like, was your testimony about Michelle true? He's like, I'm holding my breath because we don't know which way this is going to go, but I'm going to show up and I'm going to go for it. He shows up, and the ringleader finally, after all these years, says my entire testimony was a lie.
Oh, that's right.
Everything about Michelle I said was a lie. Everything she wrote in her book was the truth. All this stuff, like, finally admitted that it was all crap. And so I emailed the producer of 48 Hours and said, hello.
Hello, is it me you're looking for?
Hello, is it me you're looking for? Here's the transcripts from the parole hearing where he says all of that was a complete lie, finally confessed, and I'd really like you to send this to the woman who interviewed me, who was not nice to me, and tell her hello. Here you go. And I didn't know if they still even work there. I just still had the email. I guess she still works there. She's super great. Love the producer, by the way.
Okay.
But it was, the woman who interviewed me was the wrong person. Like, she wasn't a mom. There was zero warm and fuzzy about this chick. So she emails me back. She's like, oh my gosh, we need to do a follow-up story on you about this. We got to make this right.
Nice.
And they're doing, that's exactly what they're doing. They're making it right. They're actually going to do a full story. They're doing a full 1 hour episode on us at the end of the month, about our journey, what happened, about the truth, and nothing but the truth is getting ready to come out. And they interviewed Bria. For the first time, I was not in the room for an interview. And she's like, Mom, you're going to cry the whole time when you watch it, because I have no idea what she said. And they interviewed Dave. They interviewed the freaking defense attorney. Wow. And I can't say what he said. I know what he said. They told me what he said. I can't say what he... Holy moly, what he said. You have to watch this. You have to watch the show.
So are they going to backtrack with the old 48 then bring it forward? Okay.
They're bringing it forward to now he's telling the truth. Everything I went through in the courtroom because of all that lies. Basically, the re-traumatization of going through the court process when you're being lied about after already being brutally victimized. Now you're going through this court process where they're victimizing you again in court, and you're going through all of this, and now they're finally telling the truth, and they're finally talking about, you know, moving forward and Bria's MS and how all of the struggles that we've went through, and now my company, and now my book coming out about healing and about what really, really matters, which is healing, and back to the conversation which began this, which is about not carrying any sort of hate or anger or bitterness or prejudice or fear forward. That's the whole point of it. And so they're really finally, hopefully, fingers crossed. I mean, part of me is like, everybody's like, let's do a watch party. And I'm like, I kind of just want to watch it alone in my place in case it's like, you know, bad again. I have a little, like, I feel a little, what if they do what they did last time?
So they don't send it to you prior to approve it?
No.
Oh. Okay.
But I think I feel like they're finally going to, somebody's finally going to tell it right and true and honest. And like, I feel like this is finally going to be done the way it always should have been told and always should have been done. And it's going to be, you know, the truth about us and none of the lies and none of the stuff about us that was perpetuated before that was really, really hurtful and hard to... It was hard because after all that was published, it was, again, back to the comments online. I mean, people are like, she was involved. She did this to her daughter. I'm not buying this. She was definitely the ringleader. I mean, the stuff people were saying because they left out without and didn't tell the truth. That was hard. Like, that was so hard.
Yeah, that was your biggest struggle, was if they weren't telling the truth, because you were so truthful and so authentic, and they were so deceitful and unauthentic.
Oh.
I mean, you know, the truth always wins. Love wins.
Love wins. That's love my wins. One of my favorite sayings.
But love that's wins. What this is about. I mean, even, you know, going back to the situation at the movie theater with Bria, instead of going into the fear, you were showing love, like, you know, compassion and love, and just, you've always had a love for people, all people.
Yeah.
You just have, and animals, oh my God. You know, we could go into your whole home, you know, which is how this whole thing started, is we did not like each other because she at was, all. She was, because
I'm a hippie, gypsy, yeah. Love
but
people,
that's
and
also why
plants, and I hug trees.
Oh my
shit.
God. That's also why we love her. And, I mean, truthfully, you know, you're all about love, and can't we all just...
Kumbaya, people.
Yes, kumbaya. Very good. Kumbaya. It's a truth, though.
Oh, this is a great way to end it, too. I yeah. think I love wins. Like, hashtag love wins. You know, that's where I'm at.
It does.
That's who I am. That's what I'm about. So this whole TikTok thing blowing up, I don't know what to think about it. I really don't.
I think it's another teachable moment of... Because you did. You tried to go back and school everybody, and then finally it's like, Michelle.
I was exhausted. I couldn't do it. There was like 4,000 comments or something stupid.
You can change the world one person at a time.
Yeah.
But you're not going to change it on TikTok with all that hate, you know?
No. But I'm hoping that all I can do is take the baby steps in my own life and take those baby steps in a really positive direction. With a positive message to my family and the
and
people
friends,
in my circle.
We're all learning from you.
Because that's all we have. And I tell my daughter, and not only my daughter, but I tell my team this in my company, we can only do our part.
And we all have a part.
We can't force our clients to do certain things. We can't force other people to do certain things. We're only responsible for our part. And my part is to make sure that love wins, for sure, 1,000%.
Right.
Okay to end it. I'm what? Thinking about applying to go on Survivor. Should I do it?
Survivor?
Survivor. I feel like it's my next... Like,
have
I've,
you watched that
yes,
show?
Yes, I feel like I'd be amazing. Only because everything I've been through that we just talked about, and I've never been alone. I feel like stripping everything down and just getting out there. I don't know. I think I want to apply for Survivor.
You know what?
Not to change the subject or anything,
you
but
you go right ahead and survive and apply.
Well, I don't think you're going to do Amazing Race with me. Would you do Amazing Race with me?
Could I'm we do about doing could, Amazing Race with my brother. Actually.
Could Dolly and Dolly do Amazing Race?
Oh my God!
Yes.
I'm never going to do Survivor. I'm going to tell you that right
okay,
now.
Okay, I would do Survivor. But Amazing Race, you and I on Amazing Race.
Oh, you know what? I need to watch that again and like get a feel for it again. But I could do that before Survivor.
I'm religious about Survivor and Amazing Race. They're like my two, besides Yellowstone. Those are my shows because I'm like challenge oriented and travel oriented and team oriented. So yeah, I feel like I could do it.
Well, I mean,
I drove from here to Alaska by myself and slept in my car and in a tent. I mean, I've roughed it in my life. I feel like I could crush Survivor, but Amazing Race together would be
I could do Amazing
comical.
Race a lot easier. I don't know the word. More, better, whatever.
More better.
I know. That's not what I'm looking for. I could do that easier than there's no way in hell I'm ever doing Survivor.
Oh
I just watched the last.
Me too. I feel like I would. Don't you think I could? I feel like I would do pretty good.
You could probably do it. I just. There's.
Girl, I could
they're
do
cold,
good on challenges.
Hungry,
yeah, I've done all that.
Yeah, no.
I've been through all that.
Nope.
Strip it down. Ooh, no. All the challenges, the physical challenges. I'm a good swimmer.
It's physical. It's mental.
I'm not great at puzzles. Like, I would have to opt out on that. Well, I don't know. I don't know. I feel like that might be, like, a next thing where I'm... Because finally, my daughter's getting married. My brother's not here. Like, my dog's gone. Like, I'm finally alone for the first time.
Yeah.
In my life. And I feel like that would that is that next thing where I could just be like something to just conquer and just be like, this is just for me. I'm in that place where I feel like it's time for me to just, for the first time in my entire life, just do something just for me. I've never, ever been able to do that until now.
You don't go to that extreme, though.
And I'm not really an extremist, so it's kind of weird. But I love the show, and I'm a nature...
I like watching the show, and I'm always blown away because who I thought was going to stay or get voted off, I'm always wrong. My family, so Wednesday nights, we have Wednesday night dinner. We, my brother, my mom, and I, we all watch it. And none of us ever get it right. But one thing I know for sure is I could never do that.
Ooh, I feel like I could do it.
You probably could. You and I are different people.
But I would love to do Amazing Race. Okay, so we're going to end it here.
I'm not committing to Amazing Race. Just FYI.
Hashtag love wins. And let us know if you think Dolly and Dolly should be on Amazing Race. We should do a poll. We need to be on. We need to do a poll. Should Dolly and Dolly be on Amazing Race? I say yes. Yes, yes, I say yes. Say yes. Okay, bye.
And I,
oh, a whole bottle of wine. That was amazing.
Well, not quite, but we're almost there.
We're almost there. If you love the show, like what we have to say, please read the captions. Please watch the whole thing before you comment. So we know this is kind of a controversial subject, but you know, follow us both individually. Terry Ledford, Michelle Renee, Dolly and Dolly. Follow us, like us, love us, hit the button, share, all that good stuff.
Yeah, see, save you all of it.
Save, you know, all of it. Yeah. Thanks everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Cheers.
Whoops. Oh, cut that out.